The last chapter of Husan. During the 50-year period from 1865 until 1915, the people living at Husan were included in population censuses. This material gives us a mental image of the local people and the work they carried out here. The last of three generations were four siblings. It is common to be able to follow the history of three generations on a farm, but it is rather unusual to be able to follow a group of four siblings. Normally, around the age of 14, after they had been confirmed, the children left to serve on other farms and establish a family of their own. Neither Peder Estensen, who owned Husan, nor his siblings Esten and Ragnhild got married. This fact must have made it natural for them to stay put, sharing the family home, work and meals. They had a fourth sibling, Marit, who together with her husband also lived with them. Why didn't they have their own house elsewhere in the village? It is reason to believe that they were needed in the household, as stories in local history books reveal that neither the owner, Peder, nor his brother Esten were particularly efficient in their life and work. Many changes occurred in the family household during the course of 50 years. In addition to the four siblings, their elderly mother, Ingeborg Toresdotter, also lived here. Disease and death were a natural part of life in those days, and in 1866, when Marit gave birth to a child named Anna, joy quickly turned to sorrow when the baby died the same day as she was born. People's belief and trust in God may have helped them to understand and overcome the untimely loss of family members. This may have been particularly the case for elderly people. Ingeborg herself had to face many losses in her life, as she lived to be 91 years old, outliving two of her own children. Not only boys and girls, but also elderly single people did service on different farms. They moved on roughly every 1.5 years, though some stayed for longer. At the Husan farm, only one servant was appointed at a time. She had duties in the dwelling houses, the cowshed, and elsewhere on the farm as needed. Newly arrived servants brought with them news of people and places where they had been working previously. So did the Swedish smithy Peder Johannesson Wenberg, who appeared at Husan in the 20th century. He had neither a wife nor a permanent dwelling, but travelled from place to place, forging tools and equipment for use on farms. He was also able to fix whatever was broken, whether it was a horse's bit or a door in need of new metal fittings. Yet, who did Peder meet when he arrived at Husan? Only the owner, Esten, and Marit and her husband were still there. All of them more than 70 years old, and at 63 years the servant was no youth herself. The days of youthful vitality had gone. In earlier times you could hear grown-up conversations and watch children play. A grandmother would stand by her kettles. Strong hands would plough the soil, care for the livestock and dry hay on racks. But now, only elderly labour kept the farm running, albeit in slow decline. The last owner at Husan was Arne Olsson. However, by then, too much had been neglected on the farm, and he was unable to restore it to its former pride. This could have resulted in the complete decline of the antiquated farm, if it wasn't for some forces that wanted things differently. Due to its exceptional and authentic condition, the Central Office of Historic Monuments preserved Husan in 1941. Consequently, today, this farm is a living document of traditional building styles and traditional peasant farming society. It represents a unique setting in which to imagine what it was like to live a self-sufficient lifestyle depending entirely on natural resources and at the mercy of the seasons.